Rosie said it was really hot, and I told her it's warm weather. She said it's hot weather. Hot weather. Brother Earl is still not with us tonight. He had called me today and said he was still battling that virus or whatever it is he has, and requested our prayers for him. I'd like for us tonight to think about a subject that is mentioned probably more in Scripture than we're aware of, and it's that walk of a believer as a new creature in Christ Jesus. So, if you will, we'll start by reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And then we have some other scriptures that I'd like for us to look at. Walking. Walk and walk worthy of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, when you think in terms of walk, think in terms of your manner of life, how you live. To be an imitator of God, and we'll touch on some scriptures that remind us that Christ-likeness is all important in bearing good testimony for what God has done in bringing about that change in our lives. After all, He brought us out of darkness into light. A number of things that, as I was thinking about that this afternoon, I've read a number of things. Start right. I think I've talked to more people recently about getting started right in your new walk in Christ. And that becomes a responsibility of spiritual leaders in a local church. And it becomes the responsibility of all of us that have anything to do with serving the Lord, looking upon the fields that are white, ready for harvest. In the world today, there's the harvest here. Start right. I read one illustration about the boy that he wanted to learn to plow. And so boys that were raised up on farms, they can tell you all about this. But it's so easy to wander away from going to that line that you're supposed to plow down that field. I remember something in Boy Scouts, and we went out in the woods one time, and we were out on one of these bivouacs, and the scoutmaster told us that he's going to teach us something about how to be alert and able to care for yourself if you got lost out in the wilderness. He said, be aware of this, that if you just start walking, I can't remember if it was the right leg or the left leg, I'm not sure, but with one leg you take a little longer stride than you do with the other. And of course you're not going to walk in a straight line if that's true. You're going to veer off to the right or to the left. So he told us, in view of all of that, what we have to do is pick out a point straight ahead of us, keep our eye focused on the point. And that way you won't be wandering off. Whole stories about people that were lost began to walk and walk and walk and walk, and suddenly they began to be aware that everything was familiar around them, and what they had done is just walk in a circle and come right back to where they were. That shouldn't happen to us in our Christian walk. We want to walk, as we're reminded here, in a manner worthy of your calling. Just think about it. The one that called us into this wonderful blessing of eternal life is God. He called us. He called each one of us through the gospel. And indeed, he has expectations that are very high. He wants it to be worthy of that calling. You know, if some high official, the president or someone called me up and said, Bob, I want you to be in Washington tomorrow morning at a certain time and so forth, and I got something, I do my best to try to fulfill what the president or whoever that high official was. But all of these kind of callings kind of fall into the area of being of importance, but not like the importance of being called of God. Called of God to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Called of God to bear His name. I thought of that third verse of Psalm 23. That indeed we're directed to walk in a pathway of righteousness for His namesake. Because the way we walk down here is a reflection upon the God that we say has changed our lives. We're not claiming perfection, but indeed, we do acknowledge that the one that we worship and the one that we acknowledge as being the God of all creation and the creator of all things and the one that never errs in his judgment is God. That's our calling. So we want to be sure that as we consider our walk, that we take it seriously. I thought about a few scriptures. Man, I got to looking at it. There's so many of them. We'd be here until midnight if we looked at all of them. This Ephesians, I thought, was a good point to start with. But if you state it negatively, and one scripture was brought to my attention, and I like John 8:12. It says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. He shall not walk in darkness. That man that says that he has become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he keeps walking in the darkness. This world and all of the things that are a part of this world are a picture of darkness. Light is come into the world, but men love what? They love darkness. Seems like this world has accommodated fallen mankind in that it has provided a place to hide in the darkness. Hide in the dark. What does that man do that's out to rob and to hurt somebody and to pounce on somebody? He uses the darkness. That's not to be the way a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ lives. We are walking in the light. We've been enlightened. We've been elevated to a place where we can see and see clearly. And we have our focus upon a goal, to be like Christ. And then when we have Him as the example on how to walk, you can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than that. So, a positive walk is the thing I'd like to think about, and I found 16 scriptures that would definitely indicate that a good positive walk for the glory of God is essential. It's important. Sad to say, as I reviewed all of these, I said, you know, I have to confess that there's some of these I haven't taken too seriously, you know. I'm not as sensitive about some of them as I am about the others because it hasn't been brought to my attention in a way that I looked at it. The first one that I looked at was 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In the light. Some people don't like the light. You start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they won't tolerate it. Say, well, he is the light of the world. Wouldn't be in the light in the world as he was, and for him, he created all things. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He came into the world as a shining light. He would lay down an example for all men to behold. It would be recorded how the world treated the light that came into the world. But we have a message, a good, strong message from God. To be indeed walking in the light is all important. Don't go for the darkness. No, men are looking for a place to hide. The darkest place they can find is where they want to hide. We're not looking for darkness. We want our life to be in the light because he is light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light as he himself is the light. And it points out that it proves fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Another one I found here was in 3 John, in the truth. Just turn over to that one. This is certainly one that is all important because today we have battles raging on all hands where people are taking issues with others that have changed the truth. At least they think they have. The Word of God issues a warning. The man that meddles and changes and begins to make all kinds of arrangements and interpretations as to what God has said in His Word and departs from the truth, God doesn't like that. There'll be judgment and condemnation reserved for those that have tampered with the Word of God. And here we have in 3 John, begin at verse 3, well, I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. Now, brother and sister, this sounds trite, but, you know, we can say, I know all about truth. I know the truth of the Word of God. You could start with your experience of being in Awana and say, I memorized 500-600 verses of Scripture. I know truth. I know the truth of the Word of God. If you knew every word in this book, if you could quote verbatim every word in the Word of God, and then walk in that truth, what value is it? That's what the Spirit of God is trying to focus our attention upon. That is how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Brother and sister, there are a lot of people in the world today that call them Christians and they're not walking in the truth. Their life will not support the way they live, their lifestyle, the manner of living that they carry on. It doesn't match up with what's found in the Word of God. So John was very, very elated. He said, I'm so glad. I have great joy in my soul. Those that I know, those that perhaps he'd had a part in bringing them into the light and making them aware of that heavenly calling. He said, they're walking in the truth. You know, and I know, and this is again something that is often said. Sometimes people say this, don't do as I do, but do as I say do. You don't pay much attention to people like that, do you? Here's a guy that, his life, he's a reprobate. He does anything and everything that comes to his mind. and he tries to counsel with some young person about how to live your life and live it for the glory of God. That's a sham. That's a sham. You ought to be ashamed. Someone that is violating everything that is virtuous and holy and morally right, and yet they give counsel to someone else. But I'll tell you something else that frightens today is that in many cases, all thoughts of doing what is morally right and those things that match up with the truth of this word of God are violated, and it is approved. Approved by those in high places. And I could start out with a list of things, and you could add to it of things today that are being done not according to the truth found in the word of God. That's why it's so important that we as key individuals in the world, and I say key individuals because we represent Him. I don't know, sometimes if you think about this, I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Man, you kind of easy. That responsibility that you begin to sense that mine. I'm an ambassador. I'm a representative of God here from the face of the earth. I'm the light of the world. My Savior has imparted light into my soul by the Spirit of God and the truth that He's given. I'm to walk in that truth. To be in such a part of my life that it just becomes the thing that I do. I don't have any thought of wandering off, getting my focus off that goal that lies before me. And so often when we think about young people, you know, a little leaven leavens a whole loaf, but in navigation, if you draw a line and you're going from point A to point B and you've got wind direction from the right or left, and you don't take that into account, I'll guarantee you, you'll never get from point A to point B if you don't take into account the forces that are arrayed against you. That wind may be 10 miles an hour. It may be 100 miles an hour. I know guys have got lost. The wind, they didn't take it into account, and they didn't arrive at their destination. Oh, it just seems like a small thing when you first start off. If I start walking toward that door down there, and I just move over a little bit, doesn't sound much, seem like much over here, it's just that much. But you add that up, by the time I get to the back of the building, I'll miss that door by the width of this building. You see, something that didn't seem to be so important way back here, it's magnified, and it begins to grow, and eventually, you won't arrive at your destination. The chief end of man is to glorify God, to walk in a manner that meets with His approval. As I said, there were a lot of scriptures. I counted 16. I've only got 6 here, and I've covered 2 of them. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Now, this is a very familiar one. Galatians 5 and verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Man, some people say, you know, the flesh and its influence is so strong, I'm just not equal to it. Well, God knows that. Don't be foolish. God knows you're not equal to combat the flesh. You know, when you were dead in trespasses and sin and you had no spiritual life, you didn't have anything in you that could even begin to resist the power of the flesh. But now you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have the power of God resident in you. Don't say anymore, I can't live this life. Oh, but you can. You cannot live it in your own strength. But by the glory of God, and with His help and His Spirit according to truth, you can live this Christian life for the glory of God. And that's what God wants us to do. Walk by the Spirit. Let your life be guided and controlled by the Spirit of God. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And that old thing that comes in man says, man, I want it and I want to do it and I want to taste it and I want to feel it. Instead, Spirit of God, the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Not even our flesh is more powerful than God. The wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God. And skip down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Note verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we say the Spirit of God that indwells us is controlling, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, He's guiding and directing. You know, it sounds foolish to me when I do something that is of the flesh to say, well, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. You know how weak I am. Yeah, I know how weak I am. I know how weak you are. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus who loved me and died for me. And if we're looking to the right source of power to control our lives, we won't do it. If we live by the Spirit, we will also walk by the Spirit. Because He won't lead you any other way. The only way we get off course and deviate from what is the pathway of righteousness is when we trust the flesh. We put our trust in the flesh. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. I'll have to finish this up because the time is just about gone. 1 John chapter 2, and let's read from verse 5. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Brethren, did you know that was in the Word of God? I'm supposed to walk as a believer the same way Jesus Christ walked through this world. Man, that grabs you, doesn't it? You mean I'm supposed to be so closely aligned to Him that I walk the way He walked? Yeah. Yeah. I remember as a boy that this fella, he was a neighbor of ours, and his father walked in a certain way. And as that boy began to grow up, he walked exactly like his daddy did. And everybody could say, I know who that boy's daddy is. Who? Mr. Adams. Oh, Mr. Adams, why do you know? He walked just like his daddy walked. And of course, he looked like his daddy. But do they identify us by the way we walk when we say, I'm a Christian? If they know anything about the walk of Jesus Christ through this world, we know it was perfect. Was perfect. He had a standard that was above all other standards that men had ever set for how to live your life for the glory of God. That's the way he walked. The one who says he abides in him, has life in him, is living in him. He ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Walk the way he walked. You can't find any higher standard than Jesus Christ as to how to walk for the glory of God. Well, let's close with these. I found two in 1 Thessalonians. Let's start with chapter 2. The second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And verse 12. Well, let's start with verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My citizenship is in heaven. All of us should start living. Every one of us should start living like we're citizens of heaven. The way our Savior walked. He set the example, a perfect example, on how to walk. How to walk. Oh, there is an acceptable way to walk. And each man can't choose and say, this is the way I want to walk, and that's the way I want to walk. No, God has set a standard. He set a way that we should walk, a manner of life. Every man's given the choice to walk any way I want to walk. Well, tell me how to walk. I walk like I want to walk. My way of living is the way I choose. And I don't want you to say anything about it. I've approved of it. I don't care if God approves of it or not. That shouldn't be the attitude of a child of God. Ain't one way for me to walk. Is walk the way he wants me to walk. You see, obedience becomes such an important issue here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is what we're closed with. Verse 1. This finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive him, receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God. Just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. May not be up to par right now, but I'm trying to perfect this walk. The Spirit of God is here to guide and direct me. I have the truth. I have the pattern. I have all of the instructions. I'm not to be satisfied with my walk. I can do better. And I'm going to do better. I'm going to do it for the glory of God, walking in this world in a way that glorifies God is far more important, I think, than most believers think it is. Brethren, sisters, the world's watching us. If you say you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they got their eyes on you. Out in the workplace, they watch you. He says he's a Christian. That neighbor that doesn't have any time for God, he's watching you. How you walk is all important. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one you sent knew how to walk for the glory of God. We're so thankful he did. So thankful that he counted all joy to do the will of him that sent him. And he walked all the way to Calvary. He died upon a cross for our sin, and he left us a pattern to follow, one that is perfect, a walk that was always in perfect harmony with the will and the way of God. Lord, help us to be more like the Lord Jesus in our walk day to day. Until we see thee, Lord Jesus, do receive our thanks. And grant to us the mercy and the grace of God in carrying out your will, we pray in your name. Amen.